This is a shiur on Likutei Siches, Chelek Tes Zayin, chapter 16, the portion of Pekudei, the first Sicha. Already spoken several times, says the Rebbe, and Rashi, in his explanation on the Torah, always answers and explains everything that requires explanation in order to understand things according to Pshut Shel Mikra, according to the simple understanding of the Pasuk. And when Rashi doesn't have an explanation, he says, I don't know, any idea. He's not shy to say that he doesn't know. Therefore, when there is something that seems difficult to understand in the simple reading of the Pesukim, and Rashi doesn't answer it, so it's not because he didn't want to say he doesn't know, but it must be that he answered it. He wanted two things, says the Rebbe. Either, according to the simple reading, Pshut Shel Mikra, it's not a question, or it is a question, but Rashi has already answered it elsewhere beforehand. It's already been dealt with. So in these sedras, in these few parshas, there's something that's not understood in the simple understanding of the pasuk, and that is, in Parshas Vayakel, the Torah tells how Hashem, how Moshe Rabbeinu, told the Jews about Hashem's instruction about collecting money for the Mishkan, and how to build the Mishkan with all of its details. It says, take the Truma, take the donations, gold, silver, in order to build the Mishkan. And then he says all the details of how to make it, exactly what things need to be made. And then the Torah says how the Jews brought the actual Nedava, not just did Moshe tell the Jews what to bring, but they actually brought it. And then it's spoken how they made it, that the Chachmei Lev, the wise, people of wise heart, made all the craftsmen, made all the things as they were required to. So here the question is, L'chaira, at first glance, it would have been enough when the Torah would have just said, briefly, like this, that Moshe told the Jews everything he had been commanded in the Parshas earlier, Parshas Truma Tetzaveh. And Parshas Truma Tetzaveh Kisisa. Here in the footnote, the Rebbe gives you exact chapters. He says that in the instruction to make Truma is in Parshas Truma, to take donations is in the beginning of Parshas Truma. Exactly how to make the Mishkan and its vessels is also there in Parshas Truma. How to make the altar, the Mizbeach for the incense, is in the end of Tetzaveh. How to make the kir, the washing basin, and how to make the anointing oil, how to make the Torah, is in the Parsha of Kitisa. How to make the clothing of Kahuna is in Tetzaveh. So we have all these psukim that seem to be repetitious. First Hashem tells Moshe what to do, then he tells the Bnei Yisrael what they should do, and then the Pasuk relays in all details what the Bnei Yisrael did. It would have been very simple for the Pasuk just to say that Moshe told the Jews what he had been commanded, and then it could say that the Jewish people did everything Hashem commanded Moshe. Very simple. You could have saved tens and tens of psukim. As we find in various places in the Torah, where the Torah says that it just sums things up. As Hashem had commanded Moshe, that's what the Bnei Yisrael did. It doesn't have to go and individually share the details. The Bnei Yisrael did this, 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 this. It's already been said. Just say what they were commanded, that's what they did. So why do we have to have this repetition all the time? Especially that in the beginning of the Parshas Vayakel, Rashi says, you know, we're about to go through all the details of how the Mishkan was built. I've already told you the explanation of all these psukim earlier in the portions of Truma and Tetzaveh where they were first mentioned. So if Rashi says, I don't need to explain to you the details of what these psukim mean, it becomes an even greater question. That means Rashi, so to speak, is not ignoring the fact that these psukim are repeated. He's saying, I don't have to explain it. We already explained it. Yep, so why does the Torah say them? Rashi doesn't answer it. Second time, a third time, right? So first Hashem says what he wants done. Then it says how Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jews all the details and how the Jews did all the details. Three times the details? Why? So as we said, this is a question in the simple understanding of the Psukim. And there are various commentaries of the Torah that do deal with this, the Ramban, the Ralbag, Habar Benel. There are various approaches to this. But Rashi, who's the chief commentary of the simple understanding of the Torah, doesn't seem to say anything about it. especially that earlier on in Parshas Ki Tisa, when the Torah repeats a few details about Shabbos, in Parshas Tisa, where the pasuk says, front of the Parshas Tisa, "Shtalzach Rashi Yom Tzavon the Ibechad and Blaze Gitzel Taverter." Earlier, Rashi explains why a few words have been repeated. The words are Lamadal Chavav. Sorry, I overlooked looking this up in advance. Where in Parshas Ki Tisa does he mean? Chapter 34, Pasuk Chavav. Yeah, oh, okay. Leisavashel Gidi Bachalevimai, where it says, don't cook. Oh, the Rebbe, it's here in the Sikha. I thought it was a different pasuk, something else. Sorry. It says, the Torah says, don't cook a baby goat in its mother's milk. And it said it three times in the Torah. And Rashi says, one is you're not allowed to eat it, one is not allowed to cook it, one is not allowed to have a benefit from it, right? Here, though, you have, that's three words. Loi, Savashal, Gidi, Bachalei, Vimei. Sorry, five words. And they were said in three different junctions of the Torah. Here, in one fell swoop, we have tens of psukim that keep repeating the same story, so to speak. Okay. By the way, the Rebbe says, you will remember, in the footnote, the Rebbe says, Hara 16, you will remember that we have the same question about the offering of the leaders of the tribes. We're going to be talking about it at the beginning of the month of Nisan. Right? We have 12 tribes that bring the exact same sacrifices, and in Parshas Nasi, the psukim are repeated. But the Rebbe has already said that Rashi does allude to an answer there. He brings that each of them had their intentions. Each of the tribes. So you couldn't just say ditto, 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 ditto. Same. Each one had other nuances. So this is a question. That a similar kind of question. Paragraph 2, section 2. L'chaira, we could say that maybe part of the question is answered in another issue addressed in this week's Parsha in the Rashi. This is a bit of a complex issue. But let's try and address it. It says in the second pasuk, one of the early psukim of our parsha, it says that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Chor, did everything that Hashem had commanded Moshe. And Rashi there comments that Moshe had. What does this mean? It doesn't say everything that Moshe had commanded Bezalel. It said everything Hashem had commanded Moshe. As if what Moshe had commanded his chief craftsman Bezalel was not adhered to. But Bezalel did what Hashem had initially instructed Moshe. In other words, Moshe didn't transmit it the way he had heard it. And Bezalel intuitively knew that he should do not the way Moshe said, but he said, Moshe, shouldn't we do it another way? You're telling me. Okay, let's see the details here. Moshe told Bezalel to first make the vessels of the Mishkan and then make the actual tent. So Bezalel said, one second, usually people first make their home and then they make their furniture, right? So, and then Moshe says, oh yeah, you're right. That's what Hashem told me. Bezalel, you must have been in the shade of God. You must have heard what Hashem said. And so, indeed, Bezalel did, as Hashem had commanded Moshe, Mishkan and then vessels. This is a bit of a tricky issue, because it's a bit of a tricky issue, because when you go back to see what the instruction was, right, you see that the instruction in Parshas Truma is actually first the vessels and then the Mishkan. So here we're saying that the way Hashem had instructed it is first the Mishkan and then the Kelim. So there's a discussion here alluded to in the footnotes here, and it's a simple this Rashi requires understanding, but we're not going to delve into it for the purpose of this sicha. So basically, what could we answer? In other words, it seems it's not so clear what took place when. What we just said now is that Bezalel had an intuition that first you have to make the structure and then the kelim, whereas Moshe had given the instruction, he gave it differently. He gave the instruction first about the vessels and then about the actual Mishkan, the structure. So we could answer that that's why we have to keep repeating the exact way things were done. Because otherwise it would look like maybe the... Because this is the way that we see that Bezalel changed around the order that it was instructed. And we see that he first made the Mishkan and then made the Kelim. But however, the Rebbe says, but besides the fact that it still doesn't explain why the Torah would have to give all the details about Moshe talking about how to make the appeal, how to do the collection, that's not relevant to which came first, the Mishkan or the vessels. And also, it doesn't explain to us why there's so much detail about the actual making of the Mishkan. Okay, but besides for that, the Rebbe gives four issues with this answer. First of all, for that it would be enough just to tell us the details of structure versus kelim, right? You don't have to give all the details of how they made the vessels. The whole issue you're trying to say, this is actually an answer of the Barbanel. You're saying this. There's an issue here about what was made first, vessel or a Mishkan or vessels. So you don't have to give me. So tell me that detail, but don't give me all the details of the vessels. Number two, in order to tell us the order of that it was constructed, first the Mishkan and then the vessels, it's not necessary to give all the details of the measurements and so on, how things were made. Just say as it was commanded, so they did. More than that, when it says now when they made everything, they brought it to Moshe, again it says all the details. And furthermore, the Pasuk says, as Hashem commanded Moshe, so they did everything. Wait, but you just said all the details. Why do you now say so they did everything? There seems to be a lot of repetition here. So, I know it's been a little, if you look in the Sikha, you'll see there's two big columns of footnotes. There's a whole to-do going on here. I beg your forgiveness. I'm just going to sum up the question and then go into the answer, because it's a complicated discussion that I'm skipping over. But let's I think we can get the point briefly. You just have to open the Chumash and you see that in Truma Hashem says what they should do, and then all the details, and then again we find in Vayakel and Pekudei Moshe tells the Jews, transmits that information, and says all that information again. And then in Pekudei, they actually do it, and the Torah says, they did this, this, and this, all the information again. What for? The answer to this is simply, says the Rebbe, paragraph 3. The Mishkan and its vessels are from the most important and dear things by the Eden. Through this is the resting of the Shekhinah, of Hashem's holy presence amongst the Jews. Especially that the Mishkan is called, in Rashi's language in our parasha, Mishkan Eidos. It's called the sanctuary of testimony. This is a testimonial that Hashem has forgiven them for the sin of the Egel. So we can understand how beloved and endearing this is before the Bnei Yisrael. It's such a critical thing. Because the sin of the Egel was the worst and most central kind of sin that could be. And it caused the greatest concealment of Hashem's love and light from the Jews. Till even Hashem considered to say that he would, God forbid, wipe out the Jews and build a new nation for Moshe Rabbeinu. And even when Hashem did the forgiveness, he said, but on the days that I will get upset at you, I will always come back and remember this cardinal and central sin of the Egel. So the Mishkan is coming to be a testimonial that now they've been forgiven. You can understand that the Mishkan is such a beloved and special thing to them. And therefore we can also understand on the other side, yeah? So since they're so excited about the Mishkan, we understand that this belovedness of the Mishkan by the Jews and by Hashem and by the Jews, this is the reason why the Torah keeps repeating it over and over again. Hadashi doesn't have to tell us the reason why he keeps repeating it, because it's beloved and it's endearing, and he wants to, something you love, you don't want to talk, you want to keep talking about. Why doesn't Rashi have to tell us? Because Rashi has already given us this premise. Where? Oh, way back. The story of Chaya Sora. When Avraham sells Eliezer to make a shidduch for his son, right? And the Torah does the same thing. Tells us what Avraham told Eliezer. Tells us what Eliezer did. Tells us what Eliezer starts. Tells us that Eliezer started telling what Avraham told him. He keeps on repeating all the details of the story. What does Rashi explain there? He says, Rab Acha said that the sicha, the talk of even the servants of our forefathers, is more beloved than the Torah of the children of the forefathers of Bnei Yisrael. That's why we find that this story of Eliezer has been repeated several times, all the details of the story of the Shidduch, whereas many full subjects, Gufei Torah, many halachas of the Torah are just given in a way of a hint, a letter, a certain nuance, positioning of a word. Excuse me, those are important things, Gufei Torah, things that the Torah is built on, yet they're given very shorthand. And this story about the Shidduch, which is about Eliezer, the servant of Avraham, and exactly how he went about things, this is given so many pages because it's beloved before Hashem. So we understand that there can be something that's beloved, and that's why it can get a lot more attention. Even if there's nothing, there's no reason to keep repeating it. It's something beloved. Paragraph 4, we have to understand though, from what did Rashi say there? Rashi says that the talk of the sicha, the talk of the servants of our father, is even more beloved than the Torah of the children. Well, this is the Torah of the children that we're talking about here now. This is now post-Sinai. It's Torah. It's no longer the servants of the forefathers like Eliezer. So what do you mean? So why? He said that the Torah of the children is always given shorthand. Why is this being given such a length? No. So the Rebbe says, you got it wrong. You didn't understand this statement properly. Yofes Sichasim Shlav Dar is not that Hashem finds more beloved the servant of our forefathers, and that's why he does it repetitious. The sicha, the kind of talk of sometimes the kind of talk about something beloved, talk as opposed to Torah. Torah, what is Torah and what is talk? Torah is laws, instructions, do this, don't do that. Hashem has transmitted to us a way of life, Torah. Instruction to us, what to do, what not to do. Sicha is talk. Talk is more informal. It's a description of things that are happening. It can be inspirational, but it's not clear-cut Torah with halacha, do this, don't do that, this is kosher, this is not kosher, and so on. And this is what Rav Acha told us in the story of the Shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka, that sometimes the Torah enjoys speaking about something beloved, sicha, even though it's only sicha, not Torah. And when it comes to Torah, some things are given very briefly and very short. Because when it comes to the Shidduch, we speak about the miracle that the land contracted itself. Eliezer said, I left today, I got there today, and exactly the right time Rivka came out. These are phenomenal things. These are things that make us inspired. And therefore the Torah spends a lot of time on it with all the details. As opposed to Torah, where sometimes we can get the point of the law. Good, not good, this aspect, that aspect, and it's said shorthand. And so this is what we're saying here. When we're talking about the Mishkan, right? So it's not about repeating what has to be done, what not has to be done. It's about talking about this beloved project that Hashem has asked for the Jewish people have undertaken, and they've done, and all its details. This becomes beloved to Hashem in a way that it's more space is given in the Torah to discuss it than direct aspects of Torah of exactly permissible and forbidden and so on and so forth. Chapter, section 5, according to this we can understand why Rashi also brings in Parshas Chayei Sara, who's the rabbi who said this, that it's more beloved to speak about the sicha, the talk that went on of the with Eliezer than even the Torah of the children. Why did we say this was Rabbi Acha? Because we're going to correlate it now to Rabbi Acha, the way he appears in another Machlekes. Fascinating thing. In the Masechta of Yuma, the tractate of Yuma, there's a brisa that on the pasuk of something we say in Kriyat Shema every day. V'dibar tabam. How does it start? Shema Yisrael Hashem Alakenu, right? Hashem Echad. These words that I command you today, v'hayu advarim ha'el ha'shonichim etzavach ha'yom, shenantam v'melech ha'teach them to your kids, v'dibar tabam, is speaking them. Says the Gemara, speak in them and not in other things. Yes, you have permission to speak in them. In Torah, you should never be speaking about other things. Rabbi Acha says, you should speak in them. Speak in them. Make that your main occupation. So, let's analyze this. If Rabbi Acha is arguing, there's machlekes. The first opinion says, speak them and not other things. Rabbi Acha says, no, that's not what it means. It means speak them, make that your main speech. It would seem that Rabbi Acha says, it's okay to speak other things, but make Torah your main speech. The first opinion seems to say, no, you're not allowed to talk about anything but Torah. So, however, Rashi says, what does the first opinion mean? Not to speak about other things. What does it mean? Sorry. This is from footnotes. I'm going to skip it for now. So what does it mean that Rabbi Acha says, again, the first opinion says, speak in Torah, no other things. Rabbi Acha says, no, that's not the way I learn the Pasuk. Speak mainly in Torah. That should be your keva. That should be your main thing. Temporarily, you can speak about other things. What kind of other things would he allow you to speak? Just certainly not forbidden things. So the Rebbe says, the explanation here would be that Rabbi Acha is emphasizing that when it comes to learning Torah, you have to speak only Torah. That has to be your main occupation. However, other things are not totally ruled out. There are some forms of other things. Sicha, talk about something inspirational that happened. It's not idle things, but it's also not Torah. If we identify Torah as being strictly the practical, what to do, what not to do, and so on, or what arouses you directly to the love and fear of Hashem, but other things could be called sicha. We're talking about things, not things that are idle, but they're not directly with the full intensity of Torah, the way Torah is known to us as an instructional information. Stories, things that arouse us. So that kind of sicha, says Rav Acha, yeah, you could speak about that, but mainly you should be studying the actual Torah. However, because obviously, a five-year-old can understand that, if you're supposed to be spending most of your time shouldn't be on the sicha. Shouldn't be on the interesting and beloved and endearing, inspirational thing. It should be mostly, you should spend your time on learning Torah in the way that it instructs you. You know, halacha and what to do and so on. Okay, so we have here a very clear answer. We have a very clear answer to the question. The answer is that the talk about the Mishkan is so beloved that it's repeated and repeated. Same as Parshas Chayesara. Aye, by the way, Parshas Chayesara says, wait, why do we bring Rabbi Acha? Because Rabbi Acha clearly speaks, learns the Pasuk, V'dibarta bam, that it doesn't preclude you can't speak about anything else except the Torah. Your main occupation should be in Torah. I mean Torah, the instructional Torah. You could also speak about other things. What kind of things? For example, Sicha, the inspirational part, like this beautiful, endearing report of how we're building the Mishkan, and it could have just said it once, we would have got the point, but we wouldn't have got the full attachment that we have to it. So it gets repeated to show how beloved it is to us. Eis Vav 6, the explanation of this in the Pnimis Anyonim, in the two Sedras, in the two Parshas where all the details of the Mishkan are repeated, there's two general themes. First of all, there's the theme of the generosity of heart of the Jews. They brought materials to the Beis HaMikdash. They brought it with a great alacrity. Everything that was needed. They gave it, they gave more than was needed. They had to make an announcement. Stop bringing. That's number one. B, even those who were the great craftsmen made everything the way Hashem had instructed. They followed instructions. So usually those are generally speaking two separate kinds of emotional responses. One is generosity, which it's an expansiveness, it's an openness. I'm going to bring everything needed. I'm kind of volunteering my spirit. The other is to be exacting, exactly what Hashem said, to do it to the T. Even more, so we see two different aspects here. Even more detailed, says the Rebbe, we see actually that both aspects come together. In what way? When they donated what they needed for the Mishkan, which was more of an expansive thing, they also did it in an obedient way. Because Hashem said, take for me Truma, right? So, take for me Truma from anybody who's generous of heart. The take for me is, you have to. That's an obedience. From anybody who's generous of heart, that's a voluntary. Both of them came together. Similarly, when the craftsmen made what they needed to make, they made it as per instruction, it says that they were motivated by their heart to come and do this work. So they were obedient and also motivated. In the giving of the donations, they were benevolent, but they were also obedient in doing what Hashem had asked. Both things come together. And according to this, we can understand these two things also, Sicha and Avdei Oves. Sicha is the talk about the Mishkan, and we said talk of servant. Talk usually is something that's connected with heart. The word Sicha refers usually to prayer. Prayer is all about the heart. The word servant, which we said, the Sicha of servant, servant is usually obedience. Fulfilling of mitzvahs, exactly, just because Hashem said so. To fulfill instructions. So we have both things come together in perfection. The generosity for building the Mishkan, that is like the Sicha. And the fulfillment of constructing the Mishkan, that's like the Eved. And we need to have both always. We need to have that we fulfill the mitzvah like a servant, but we also have to have the motivation in the heart to do that, to fulfill the mitzvah like a servant. And when we come with benevolence and with generosity of heart to initiate, it should be because Hashem has so instructed. As the Rebbe says here in the footnote, just like we speak about elsewhere in the Likutei Sichos, that you have to have obedience to what Hashem wants, and that's why you should want to, Hashem wants us to understand as much as we can. Understanding and obedience are two different things. But you try and understand as much as you can because you obediently want to fulfill Hashem's instruction, who wants you to understand. And then on the reverse, so they go together. But you have a wonderful togetherness of your own voluntary, so to speak, a free spirit harnessed into doing obediently the commandment of Hashem. Perfect combination. Be well.